from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Everybody's standing at Wrigley. Cubs, one out away from their fifth consecutive win. The pitch, a swing and a line drive. Diving backhand catch by Bush at first. Cubs win the ball game. The former Dodger, Michael Bush, not only hits a home run, but for an encore, he makes a diving catch for the final out, and if he doesn't catch it, it almost certainly Ronnie would have tied this ball game.
That the final call from the win the other day, and that win finished off by our next guest, who joins us right now on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. He is the Cubs closer. He is Adbert Alzolay, who joins us right now on Hit and Run. Adbert, good morning. Thanks so much for coming on. How are you?
Good morning, good morning. Doing good. Just getting to work right now.
Yeah. So what's first? What's first today when you get to work? What's the first thing you do other than talk to annoying radio people like me?
Well, I get to the locker room, make sure I say good morning to every teammate. It's already in the locker room. And they make sure everyone is doing good in the morning. I like to, ask everyone how they're doing and making sure they're fine, and then go have my breakfast and start my preparation for the day.
Well, let's start right there. So you like to check in with every teammate, make sure you guys have a moment and connect in the morning, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Craig Counsell called you a connector. And I've been in a lot of clubhouses and around baseball for a while. Albert, like, people like you are very important to a team, like to make sure there are no cliques and to help, with your English being so good, to help like different groups stay connected and stay communicating. You take pride in that role?
Yeah, I do. I just feel like as a player sometimes, like, we just like to just get in our own world, like so many thoughts going through our head and stuff. And sometimes, like, I just feel like you need that guy that is – he's there for you, that is going to make sure everything is going good for you and give you that let's go by right away in the morning. So I just like to make sure all the boys are seeing and I'm ready to play.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. It's important on a radio show, too. Like, if I see my co-host or, like, a producer who's not feeling good or something, you got to go and check in and
yeah,
try.
You have to.
You have to, because you need them to be good, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. So I was reading about this graduation ceremony that took place in Mesa, these young players graduating. You know what I'm talking about? Can you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Tell the listeners about it. Tell people what that is, would you?
So, like, a lot of us, when we come from the Dominican or Venezuela or, like, for any country, South America, like, when you come out here, you're 17 years old, 17, 18 years old. I'm like, you need that English class. You need to, like, really go to class and pay attention to start learning the new language, because it's like I tell every kid that comes here, it's really important for us to learn how to speak the language, because, like, we're playing here, right? So I'm like, sometimes you can be in able, and, like, yeah, there is a lot of coaches that speak Spanish and stuff, but then sometimes you go to AA or AAA, because I was in that position, and then you were, like, the only Latin guy, or, like, you only have two Latin guys there, and then every other person is American. And I'm like, in a game situation, if you don't know what they're telling you to do when the pitching coach goes out there to a pitching visit and everyone speak English, but you don't know what to do, then like you're not gonna be like all in the game because you don't know what is going on. You're not understanding what play is being made or anything. So like for me, just seeing like a bunch of kids, they were like 18, just seeing them sitting there, it just took me back to when I was in that position in 2015. I remember that, like, just being sitting in the same seat, I'm like, okay, feeling proud of myself because, okay, I can dominate the language now. I can communicate with people better. I can make a conversation, everything. Like, and also, I can help another people. Like, you know, like, you get lost in the airport. Like, if you go to Atlanta, for example, and you don't know, like, that you got to take a train and you don't know how to read where to go. And then I have heard cases where these players have been lost in the airport for like 2 days because like they don't know how to communicate. So like that's something that
wow,
it makes me really proud when I see like a bunch of kids just like interacting with the American players. I'm like, you know, like trying to speak the language. And I'm like, you can't be afraid to speak the language. I'm like, yeah, we're going to make mistakes because it's not our first language, but that's why we have teammates for. Like, they're going to come at you and they're going to help you. Like, okay, this is the right pronunciation. This is the way you can write it. This is the way you can pronounce it, you know, because I had it with Justin Steele. I had it with PJ Higgins. So I feel like just hanging out with them was what made my English get so much better. So I just felt really, really proud, gave a really good speech to the kids because it really touched me that day. You're seeing them there sitting.
Yeah.
To me, it was like, wow, just took me back to when I was their age and I was in the same position.
That's so cool, man. Albert, seriously, it's like sports is one of those things that brings people together because you have to. And it's like, I mean, Loosedale, Mississippi fastball, Justin Steele, and young Adbert Alzali being pals, you know, that might not happen without baseball, right?
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Like, it's like we always talk about it and stuff. It's just so crazy how two guys from different worlds just got together and just be, like we create this really good relationship. Like even in the big leagues, we live in the same building. I'm like we just like spending time together.
That's so cool. With that in mind, we're talking to Adbert Alzali on Hit and Run. We got to go back to October because we talked to Nico Horner a lot on my show during the week. Me and Danny Parkins, and we had Nico on, and we had seen the pictures from the fishing trip with Justin Steele. So here's Nico. Here's me asking Nico about you being on the trip because you looked awesome in the pictures.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I love that Adbert was there. His energy.
Oh, my God.
His energy must have been awesome on the boat with
you
guys.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, we could have. Yeah, he was amazing. A great. You can't. I mean, you're reeling and you're getting tired, but Albert's yelling in your ear, and there's no way you can stop. So it's like
the Energizer Bunny of the fishing trip.
He said his lie. He kept saying, "That's the most amazing thing I've ever experienced, not on a mound." Like
he put the qualifier in there.
All right,
most amazing thing I've ever experienced, not on a mound. Like,
yep.
Is that true, Albert? Is the most amazing thing you ever experienced, not on a mound?
I mean, it's like that was the only other time that I felt my adrenaline felt that high besides closing for the Chicago Cubs. That's all I can say. I'm like, I never felt this adrenaline rush in my life until I saw that I had a fish that was 147 pounds hooked on the reel, and I was like, oh my God, like it just felt like, okay, I'm throwing the ninth inning right now.
Yeah, that's amazing. So I'm picturing, Albert, you like in your 40s and your 50s, you're retired after a long baseball career, and now you're leading fishing trips. You know, you're taking young players or family out on fishing trips on a big boat. Why not? Right?
Yeah. I mean, we said it. We're going to make it like a yearly thing. Like we started last year and we're just going to keep it doing it because it's just, I mean, it's amazing. Like you get to be with your friends during the off season for a whole weekend, you know, like you've been apart from each other for like 2 months or stuff like that, a month, and then you're just catching up and then just knowing that it's free time, like you can just have fun with with your friends, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful. All right, Adbert, you finishing a game has become one of the most fun things to watch in Chicago baseball. I need to ask you about, it's like a, what are you doing? It's you're punching the air. Is it a boxing? Is it, what do they call it? Sean, what'd you say? The people's fist, they call it?
The people's fist.
The people's fist. I don't know if you're aware of that, but there's a huge community that's enjoying what you're doing. Please describe what is happening in that moment when the game is over and there's a yell and there's a punch of sorts.
I mean, it's just like, I just feel like it's just such an adrenaline moment at the time. But, like, you got to keep yourself calm through the evening. I'm like, I'm always being a really, like, energetic guy. And I feel like just being able to, like, control my emotions through the whole evening, being calm, like, feel like being present there is huge. And then when you finally, like, see that the last out is coming, like, you think win. Like, you're turning the ball back to the manager, like, It just brings my adrenaline through the roof, and I feel like I did it the first time out of nowhere. Like it just came along, and then from that day on, the guys loved it. So I just kept doing it. Everyone loved it. So I'm like, it's just like adrenaline release for me. I feel so fired up.
Yeah, are you screaming? I can't hear. I mean, the mouth is open. It looks like you're screaming. Are you?
Yeah, I'm screaming.
What's the
sometimes I lose my voice with it.
What's the scream? Give me a little version of the scream, would you? Let it fly.
He's like, let's go, but it gets Spanish.
All right, it's tough to recreate at 9:40 in the morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you need that adrenaline rush. Like it's really hard to try to do it. It just comes along with it.
Yeah. Well, maybe after today. Hey, how fun is it to watch Yamamoto pitch yesterday? But actually, let me ask you about Shota instead. Let me ask you about your teammate Shota Imanaga, who's going today. That dude, like, he's striking a pose on the mound sometimes. He's like twirling after a strikeout. He's entertaining, isn't he?
Yeah, I told Seiya, and I even told Darvish, I'm like, hey, this is my favorite Japanese player so far. I'm like, I just love his passion. I feel like I really, like, you know, I wanted to make sure he felt that he belonged here from the beginning. Like, just because, you know, like, this game is about confidence. In the big leagues, like, you can have all the stuff you want, but if your confidence is not there, like, the other team can see that, oh, this guy doesn't have confidence on him. Like, so they can pick that on you. So just making sure, like, he felt like he belonged here, like he was involved in everything. If we were talking football, I would make sure he was there. Like, you know, like, and then just, you know, motivating him. I'm like, this guy's nasty. Like, it's unreal, the stuff he has. Like, it's just, and it's not only that, it's just, like, it's really good stuff with, like, amazing, like, notion of what he's doing. Like, he knows where he's moving. He knows the way, he knows how to pitch. Like, when something is not working, he asks a lot of questions. Like, it's just pretty much like, it's like having two Kyles in the same team. Like, it's just crazy good, like, how smart this guy is, and like how attentive he is to details and stuff. And then you're seeing him, like, just feeling the crowd. Like, he felt that his first outing here, like, he felt the crowd, and then you're seeing him, like, getting excited about it, expressing his emotions. That tells you the kind of player he is, you know? Like, and it's crazy because, like, you used to see this really good Japanese player just being quiet and stuff, but I just love the way he is. He's just different.
That's so cool. All right, last thing, Adbert. How are you feeling in terms of your stuff, your slider? Like, is it as sharp as you want it? I was reading there's not quite as many swings and misses as usually with you so far. Is it still coming along, or how do you feel about it all?
I mean, it's just being a little cold, to be honest.
Yeah, okay. So, it's good to know.
Yeah, so it's just adapting to it, getting back to that routine. But I mean, I'm getting the outs with it, so that's all I care about.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Adbert, good luck. Just a pleasure to talk to you, and looking forward to watching Shota today. And hopefully, we get the people's fist and a better scream than you gave us.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Hey, Adbert, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. That's Adbert Alzolay, the closer for the Chicago Cubs. That from earlier this morning at about 9:45. But man, that guy is super, super fun and smart. And I love the stuff about, you know, being a connector and bringing those cultures together, and also just being proud of the young players as they've been learning English. And he remembers himself in that chair in 2015. Good stuff with Adbert Alzolay. We're going to get to the hottest hitter on this team in our final segment, as we're here for another 30 minutes or so before Cubs baseball comes your way. Cubs Dodgers, the finale coming up. But I wanted to reference this and let you guys hear a little snippet of the podcast. The podcast is about baseball play-by-play, for anyone who doesn't know, and I'm doing it once again via the Odyssey app, but you can find it anywhere you get your podcast. It's called the PBP, Voices of Baseball. And this year, episode one of this season is Brian Anderson, not the former player, but the broadcaster, who you might see doing NBA games sometimes, doing some NCAA games sometimes, but also does the Brewers games on TV, and does a great job with TBS on postseason baseball. And I thought you'd enjoy this snippet of the episode, which is out now. But this is Brian Anderson talking about a very, very memorable series, a memorable moment at Wrigley. And for me, it's one of the key moments of the rebuild and eventual march towards the World Series. It's when the Cubs passed the Cardinals as both the organizational standard and the local rival in 2015, when they beat them in the National League Division Series. You remember that? Just incredible, incredible stuff. And that atmosphere afterwards, so memorable. But I thought you'd enjoy this story from Brian Anderson on doing that series with his partner and friend, Dennis Eckersley. He'll reference the Schwarber home run, but it's also about the uniqueness of the way that series ended from the broadcaster's perspective.
What I remember most about that is once the Cubs won that game and advanced, like, we're always worried about the escape route. Like, we're weird that way, announcers. Like, how do we get out of there? Especially at Wrigley, because Wrigley is, like, the most – it's crazy to go down the ramps and, you know –
Serpentine.
If they win, they're you know, they're happy. If they lose, they're yelling at you. But what was amazing about that, the Cubs win that series, and I can remember, like, leaving the booth. Now, I got my car in the parking lot because I only live in Milwaukee. So I'm driving home. Nobody's leaving. Eddie Vedder standing down there on the third base dugout. Everybody's in their seats. I just walk right out. I go down the elevator. I go to my car. There's no traffic. I was home in 90 minutes. Greatest getaway ever. Usually it takes 90 minutes to get to the highway at Wrigley. I said, this is amazing. I called all my partner, Ron Darla. I said, hey, I'm already home. So anyway, that's what I remember most. I said, thank God the Cubs won.
That is amazing. That is amazing. We have the final moments of that series, actually, and it's a great example of you laying out.
The 0-1, Carpenter goes, and a swing and a miss. No balls, two strikes. Carpenter ends up at second base.
Do that again, and it's over.
Strikeout! The Cubs win! The Chicago Cubs are heading to the National League Championship Series.
Yeah, man, it's a lot when you're sitting with it on a pod, but on TV, we're all bringing our own context to it. We're bringing our own thoughts to it. It doesn't feel like a lot.
Yeah, you don't need an announcer for sure. And those are conscious decisions. You know, you're. As you sit there and you're, you know, like, your voice is laid on top of this forever, at least for this particular broadcast. And you can, like, there's a menu of things I could go to. I could give the count. I could set the scene. I'm kind of following the director as well there on television, where I'm watching the monitor, whatever his shots are. And I believe the shots he was cutting around were crowd shots. So there's really no, I don't need to say there's a guy and there's a guy and there's a guy. I don't need to do that. I don't need to give the count. I've just given it. I don't need to do any more setup than what's after. So there was no, like, if I was on radio, I wouldn't be able to do that. Because you notice that call was in the past tense. It was after the strikeout. It was, I didn't even do any setup. I didn't say, he's on the mound. He kicks and fires. Here's the pit. You know, I didn't do any of that. So it was just the past tense of the result. And so, you know, my ego says I didn't really technically do a good job play-by-play wise. But again, when you're in the moment and you're at Wrigley and they've got a chance to do something amazing and that crowd's going crazy, for me, it's just like, oh, let's just sit here and watch this with them.
Yeah, it's awesome. And Eckersley with the do that again and it's over reminds me of something.
And he does it again.
Yeah, he does it again. You know, it's like
Eck was the man. I loved working with him.
Tell us why. Tell us why Eck was so much fun to work with.
Totally reactionary. He's a lot like Reggie Miller. And he came with some prep, but he was just totally reactionary. If you'll go back, and you can insert this later, there's the Kyle Schwarber home run I'm telling you about. Schwarber hit a home run on top of the scoreboard, and Eck said, "What in the world?" as the ball is leaving.
And Schwarber sends one high and deep, way back, and this ball is long gone.
Mercy. What in the world?
And so he had all these phrases and sayings, and he would lean on you and tap you, and he was just completely immersed in the moment.
That is Brian Anderson. Man, I hadn't remembered that call. I was there watching that home run, but like to hear that call, that's just super cool. What in the world? Find the PBP, Voices of Baseball, wherever you find your podcasts. I promise you'll enjoy it. Thanks for listening to Hit and Run. One more segment to go. Let's talk about the hottest hitter on the Cubs and how he got here. What he's actually doing at the plate is just awesome. We'll talk about it next, leading up to Cubs and Dodgers on the Score.
He's Babe Effin' Ruth.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Fly ball, deep left center, off the bat of Suzuki. Get out the tape measure, long gone. Suzuki with his ninth of the year. And the Cubs have a 10-run lead here in the eighth inning.
That home run right there. Sean Sears, that's last year, August 4th.
August 2nd against the Reds.
August 2nd against the Reds. And that was Seiya Suzuki, and it came after a benching by David Ross and the Cubs that Seiya Suzuki took really, really well. He knew he was out of whack, out of sync, in between in terms of sitting on off speed or sitting on fastballs. He was a mess, and he took that benching to heart, and he made some changes. What were they? I want to find out. Here's what we know. In the last 47 games of the year, Seiya Suzuki hit .356 with an on-base percentage of .414, a slugging percentage of .672. That's an OPS well over one, almost to 1.1, with 15 doubles, 4 triples, 11 homers, 37 ribbies, 34 runs scored. And there were some things that clicked, and they kept going into spring, and they've kept going into right now. Whereas the two-hitter on this team, he looks like he might be the best offensive player on this team. Certainly the best right-handed offensive player with respect to Cody Bellinger. So how is it happening? Why is it happening? Let's talk about it. But first, let's hear from Jed Hoyer, who talked about Seiya and those changes and that evolution at Cubs convention.
Things started to click for him, and obviously he had a monster August and September, and he was getting the ball in the air more. And I was asking those guys, like, hey, what changed? Like, what was the big moment? And the big moment was he was struggling, and we're playing the Reds. I think it was early August, like right after the deadline. And it was one of those games, we scored like, whatever, 19, 20 runs in a couple of those games. And he was facing a position player pitching at the end of the game. And he was just like, okay, this swing nice and smooth, catch the ball out front. The guy's throwing 58 miles an hour. So he hit a long home run against a position player. And it was like, that was it. That's the swing, catch it out front. And from that day forward, he took off, which is great. So it's amazing when people talk about like what those moments are, that things click. It was just like thinking about catching the ball out front.
That's funny. So again, the position player home run was a moment that gave him confidence and got him going. That's really cool. There's actually an article today in The Athletic from Patrick Mooney all about Saya, and it includes some more context, which I think is valuable. Dustin Kelly, the Cubs hitting coach, said that what Saya found when he made those adjustments is that, quote, a lot of it had to do with him starting to own who he is as a hitter. It did take a little time for him to realize, who am I in the game in this lineup? There was not a mechanical swing adjustment. There weren't a lot of things we talked about outside of being aggressive. If it's a pitch you think you can drive in the middle of the field, you're going to go ahead and take your A's swing. It freed him up a little bit. And then success breeds confidence. And that speaks to what Jed was talking about there, as success breeds confidence. And there also was, according to Mooney, a better nutrition program and a streamlined, less is more routine, having come from a Japanese baseball culture that stressed repetitions and extra work. So he like pulled it back a little bit. And then there's some stuff from Ian Happ in this article, which I think is fascinating. So look, here's what Ian talked about in terms of him being in between, Saya being in between, like I was talking about. I think this is really interesting. And obviously Happ is really smart the way that he thinks about hitting. Quote from Happ: part of Saya succeeding was figuring out exactly what move works at this level, how to cover different pitches. It's a different game. If a guy's throwing a heater at 96, 97, and he has a cutter at 90 to 93, that's a different mix than one straight pitch, and then the other off-speed pitch is kind of bending in the low 80s. So that's interesting. So in Japan, maybe more of that mix, where it's fastball and curve, or fastball and whatever it is, a slider in the 80s. This, in MLB, this is a heater at 96, 97, and a cutter at 90, 93. It's a different kind of approach. That makes a lot of sense to me. And one more thing on this. I was actually musing about this and thinking about this earlier in the week, because he makes such good hard contact so consistently. Why does it fly off of his bat? Why do some guys generate more exit velocity than others? I want to know. I want to know. Is it about him being strong? He's obviously strong, but it's got to be more. It's got to be the swing plane, right? Like the efficiency of the swing plane, that kind of thing. And I'm just spitballing as I think about it. And then I come across this Ian Happ quote in the Pat Mooney piece. Saya has one of the best right-handed swings in the game. Mechanically, he's so pure. The way the ball comes off the bat, you can see the exit velocities. There's a ton of strength there. It's his ability to drive the ball to all parts of the field. And when he's right, like right now, his swing decisions are so good. He doesn't swing at bad pitches. Damn, that's the stuff I could just hang out and get inside all day long. The pure mechanics. The efficiency of the swing plane. Man, I want to know. We got to talk to Justin Stone.
That's the guy, right?
I saw him in Mesa. I said, hey, man, really enjoyed talking to you last year. And he said again what he said at the end of that conversation. I don't know if you remember. He said, yep, that's all I do is talk hitting. So I'm around. That's all I do. That's all he does.
We will accept his services whenever he wants to.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. So we'll reach out to Justin Stone and try to make that reconnect.
You know what's interesting with some of the Saya stuff is typically you see with right-handed hitters, if they're hitting more with more power, what's typically happening, usually pulling the ball. Saya's the opposite right now. Mm-hmm. He's got a higher oppo field, like nearly 8 or 9% higher than he did last year.
Well, some of the best hitters in baseball are thinking that way all the time.
Right.
Boog was talking about Freddie Freeman this week, how Freddie Freeman told him when he's at the plate in a game and when he's doing BP, all he's thinking about is hitting a line drive over the shortstop's head. That's all he's thinking about the entire time. And he knows that if he just has that as the North Star, if that's the goal, then if he's a little in front, that's okay. If he's a little behind, probably foul, but it might be down the line the other way, oppo. But that's what he's thinking about the entire time. That's his middle, is that line drive over the shortstop's head. It makes all the sense in the world.
Well, like, and then we talk about how hard Seiya is hitting the ball. He was a huge fly ball pitcher in Japan, something nearly 60%. He'd do that in the league now. He'd lead it. Like, this guy, if he puts the ball in the air, extra base hits follow.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Maybe that number will climb. Speaking of fly ball hitters or fly ball pitchers, Shota Imanaga on the mound today. How are the conditions? What's the weather like? It's obviously, it's a little damp right now. I don't know what the wind is like over there. That was a pitcher's dream on the day of the home opener for Shota's debut. So we'll have to take a look, but we'll see. Shota gives up fly balls, and some of those can turn into home runs. There was no chance of that happening at the home opener, and we'll see if there's any chance of that happening today. Can't wait to watch him again. So, so fun. If you haven't watched Shota yet, watch him today. If you're going to be listening, you'll hear Pat and Ron and Zach with tremendous descriptions as they observe and describe and react to what is going on. Because Shota is just, he's really, really fun. A simple way to listen to Mully and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, Parker the Spiegel, and everything the Score has to offer is with the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app today. Search 670 The Score and take us wherever you may go. During the week, you'll hear tons of baseball and, of course, tons of NFL draft coverage on The Score, which is presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Thank you to our guests on the show today, Albert Alzolay, and also thank you to Ryan McGuffey from NBC Sports Chicago. And thank you to Joe Davis, the Dodgers broadcaster. Sean Sears does a great job each and every week as our producer. Thank you to the associate producer, Ruben Spiegel. Hell of a job there, young man. That's right. Hope you enjoy the Doritos.
He's waved for the audience. He was waving.
Sean, I hope you enjoyed your Doritos.
That was really nice of you. Thanks.
Oh, Ru, do you have Google Translate ready to go? Did you grab that? He doesn't have it? We were trying. I got one. Let's see if this will work. It's a good day for baseball. No, it's not working. Damn it! Trying to hook up the Japanese listeners in our audience.
We'll get that figured out for the next
show. Yeah, we'll get that figured out. We did it at the top of the show. You can always hit the rewind feature. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Cubs baseball is next. I'm back with Parker the Spiegel tomorrow. You're right here on 670 The Score.
Just be cool. Just be cool. Everyone be cool.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hit and run with Matt Spiegel. Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Everybody's standing at Wrigley. Cubs, one out away from their fifth consecutive win. The pitch. A swing and a line drive. Diving backhand catch by Bush at first. Cubs win the ball game. The former Dodger, Michael Bush, not only hits a home run, but for an encore, he makes a diving catch for the final out. And if he doesn't catch it, it almost certainly, Ronnie, would have tied this ball game.
That the final call from the win the other day. And that win finished off by our next guest, who joins us right now on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. He is the Cubs closer. He is Albert Alzolay, who joins us right now on Hit and Run. Albert, good morning. Thanks so much for coming on. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Doing good. Doing good. Just getting to work right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's first? What's first today when you get to work? What's the first thing you do other than talk to annoying radio people like me?
Well, I get to the locker room, make sure I say good morning to every teammate. It's already in the locker room. And make sure everyone is doing good in the morning. I like to, ask everyone how they're doing and making sure they're fine, and then go have my breakfast and start my preparation for the day.
Well, let's start right there. So you like to check in with every teammate, make sure you guys have a moment and connect in the morning, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Craig Council called you a connector. And I've been in a lot of clubhouses and around baseball for a while. Abbott, like, people like you are very important to a team, like to make sure there are no clicks and to help, with your English being so good, to help like different groups stay connected and stay communicating. You take pride in that role?
Yeah, I do. I just feel like as a player, sometimes like we just like to just get in our own world, like so many thoughts going through our head and stuff. And sometimes like I just feel like you need that guy that is. He's there for you, that is going to make sure everything is going good for you and give you that, that let's go by right away in the morning. So I just like to make sure all the boys are seeing and I'm ready to play.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. It's important on a radio show, too. Like if I see my co-host or like a producer who's not feeling good or something, you got to go and check in and
yeah,
try.
You have to.
You have to because you need them to be good, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes. So I was reading about this graduation ceremony that took place in Mesa. These young players graduating. You know what I'm talking about? Can you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Tell the listeners about it. Tell people what that is. Would you?
So like a lot of us when we come from the Dominican or Venezuela or like for any country in South America, like when you come out here, you're 17 years old, 17, 18 years old. I'm like. You need that English class. You need to like really go to class and pay attention to start learning the new language. Because it's like I tell every kid that comes here, it's really important for us to learn how to speak the language. Because like we're playing here, right? So I'm like sometimes you can be in able. And like, yeah, there is a lot of coaches that speak Spanish and stuff, but then sometimes you go to AA or AAA because I was in that position. And then you were like the only Latin guy or like you only have two Latin guys there. And then every other person is American. And I'm like in a game situation, if you don't know what they're telling you to do when the pitching coach goes out there to a pitching visit and everyone speaks English, but you don't know what to do, then like you're not going to be like – all in the game because you don't know what is going on. You're not understanding what play is being made or anything. So for me, just seeing like a bunch of kids, they were like 18, just seeing them sitting there, it just took me back to when I was in that position in 2015. I remember that like just being sitting in the same seat, I'm like, okay, feeling proud of myself because, okay, I can dominate the language now. I can communicate with people better. I can make a conversation, everything. Like, and also I can help another people. Like, cause, you get lost in the airport. Like, if you go to Atlanta, for example, and you don't know, like, that you got to take a train and you don't know how to read where to go, and then I have hear cases where these players have been lost in the airport for, like, 2 days. Because, like, they don't know how to communicate. So, like, that's something that it makes me really proud when I see, like, a bunch of kids just, like, interacting with the American players. I'm like, trying to speak the language. And I'm like, you can't be afraid to speak the language. I'm like, yeah, we're going to make mistakes because it's not our first language. But that's why we have teammates for. Like, they're going to come at you and they're going to help you. Like, okay, this is the right pronunciation. This is the way you can... You can write it. This is the way you can pronounce it, because I had it with Justin Steele. I had it with P.J. Higgins. So I feel like just hanging out with them was what made my English get so much better. So I just felt really, really proud, gave a really good speech to the kids because it really touched me that day. You're seeing them there sitting.
Yeah.
To me, it was like, wow, just took me back to when I was their age and I was in the same position.
That's so cool, man. Abbott, seriously, it's like sports is one of those things that brings people together because you have to. And it's like, I mean, Luce Dale, Mississippi fastball, Justin Steele, and and young Adbert Alzali being pals, that might not happen without baseball, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Like, it's like we always talk about it and stuff. It's just so crazy how two guys from different worlds just got together and we create this really good relationship. Like even in the big leagues, we live in the same building. I'm like we just like spending time together.
That's so cool. With that in mind, we're talking to Albert Azulay on Hit and Run. We got to go back to October because we talked to Nico Horner a lot on my show during the week. Me and Danny Parkins, and we had Nico on, and we had seen the pictures from the fishing trip with Justin Steele. So here's Nico. Here's me asking Nico about you being on the trip because you looked awesome in the pictures.
Wow. Oh my God, I love that Adbert was there. His energy.
Oh my God.
His energy must have been awesome on the boat.
Yeah,
with you guys.
Unbelievable. I mean, we could have. Yeah, he was amazing. A great. You can't. I mean, you're reeling and you're getting tired, but Adbert's yelling in your ear, and there's no way you can stop. So it's like
the Energizer Bunny of the fishing trip.
He kept saying, like, "That's the most amazing thing I've ever experienced, not on a mound." Like
he put the qualifier in there.
All right, most amazing thing I've ever experienced, not on a mound. Like,
is that true, Adbert? Is the most amazing thing you ever experienced not on a mound?
I mean, it's like that was the only other time that I felt my adrenaline felt that high besides closing for the Chicago Cubs. That's all I can say. I'm like, I never felt this adrenaline rush in my life until I saw that I had a fish that was 147 pounds hooked on the reel, and I was like, oh my God, like it just felt like, okay, I'm throwing the ninth inning right now.
Yeah, that's amazing. So I'm picturing, Adbert, you like in your 40s and your 50s, you're retired after a long baseball career, and now you're leading fishing trips. You know, you're taking young players or family out on fishing trips on a big boat. Why not? Right?
Yeah. I mean, we said it. We're going to make it like a yearly thing. Like we started last year and we're just going to keep it doing it because it's just, I mean, it's amazing. Like you get to be with your friends during the off season for a whole weekend, you know, like you've been apart from each other for like 2 months or stuff like that, a month, and then you're just catching up and then just knowing that it's free time, like you can just have fun with your friends, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful. All right, Adbert, you finishing a game has become one of the most fun things to watch in Chicago baseball. I need to ask you about, it's like a, what are you doing? It's you're punching the air. Is it a boxing? Is it, what do they call it? Sean, what'd you say? The people's fist, they call it?
The people's fist.
The people's fist. I don't know if you're aware of that, but there's a huge community that's enjoying what you're doing. Please describe what is happening in that moment when the game is over and there's a yell and there's a punch of sorts.
I mean, it's just like, I just feel like it's just such an adrenaline moment at the time. But, like, you got to keep yourself calm through the evening. I'm like, I'm always being a really, like, energetic guy. And I feel like just being able to, like, control my emotions through the whole evening, being calm, like, feel like being present there is huge. And then when you finally, like, see that the last out is coming, like, you think win. Like, you're turning the ball back to the manager, like, It just brings my adrenaline through the roof, and I feel like I did it the first time out of nowhere. Like it just came along, and then from that day on, the guys loved it. So I just kept doing it. Everyone loved it. So I'm like, it's just like adrenaline release for me. I feel so fired up.
Yeah. Are you screaming? I can't hear. I mean, the mouth is open. It looks like you're screaming. Are you?
Yeah, I'm screaming.
What's the
sometimes I lose my voice with it.
What's the scream? Give me a little version of the scream, would you? Let it fly.
He's like, let's go, but it gets funny.
All right, it's tough to recreate at 9:40 in the morning. You know what I mean?
You need that adrenaline rush. Like it's really hard to try to do it. It just comes along with it.
Yeah. Well, maybe after today. Hey, how fun is it to watch Yamamoto pitch yesterday? But actually, let me ask you about Shota instead. Let me ask you about your teammate, Shota Imanaga, who's going today. That dude, like, he's striking a pose on the mound sometimes. He's, like, twirling after a strikeout. He's entertaining, isn't he?
Yeah, I told Seiya and I even told Darvish, I'm like, hey, this is my favorite Japanese player so far. I'm like, I just love his passion. I feel like I wanted to make sure he felt that he belonged here from the beginning, like, just because, you know, like, this game is about confidence. In the big leagues, like, you can have all the stuff you want, but if your confidence is not there, like, the other team can see that, oh, this guy doesn't have confidence on him, like, so they can pick that on you. So just making sure, like, he felt like he belonged here, like, he was involved in everything. If we were talking about football, I would make sure he was there, like, you know, like, and then just, you know, motivating him. I'm like, this guy's nasty. Like, it's unreal, the stuff he has. Like, it's just, and it's not only that, it's just, like, it's really good stuff with an amazing, like, notion of what he's doing. Like, he knows what he's moving. He knows the way, he knows how to pitch. Like, when something is not working, he asks a lot of questions. Like, it's just pretty much, like, it's like having two Kyles in the same team. Like, it's just crazy good, like, how smart this guy is and, like, how attentive he is to details and stuff. And then just seeing him, like, just feeling the crowd. Like, he felt that his first outing here. Like, he felt the crowd. And then just seeing him, like, getting excited about it, expressing his emotions, that tells you the kind of player he is, you know? Like, and it's crazy because, like, you used to see this really good Japanese player just being quiet and stuff, but I just love the way he is. He's just different.
That's so cool. All right, last thing, Adbert. How are you feeling in terms of your stuff? Your slider, like, it is it as sharp as you want it? I was reading there's not quite as many swings and misses as usually with you so far. Is it still coming along? Or how do you feel about it all?
I mean, it's just been a little cold, to be honest.
Yeah, okay. So, it's good to know.
Yeah, so it's just adapting to it, getting back to that routine. But, I'm getting the outs with it, so that's all I care about.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Adbert, good luck. Just a pleasure to talk to you, and looking forward to watching Shota today. And hopefully we get the people's fist and a better scream than you gave us.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Hey, Adbert, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. That's Adbert Alzolay, the closer for the Chicago Cubs. That from earlier this morning at about 9:45. But, man, that guy is super, super fun and smart. And I love the stuff about, you know, being a connector and bringing those cultures together. And also just being proud of the young players as they've been learning English. And he remembers himself in that chair in 2015. Good stuff with Adbert Alzolay. We're going to get to the hottest hitter on this team in our final segment as we're here for another 30 minutes or so before Cubs baseball comes your way. Cubs Dodgers, the finale coming up. But I wanted to reference this and let you guys hear a little snippet of the podcast. The podcast is about baseball play-by-play, for anyone who doesn't know, and I'm doing it once again via the Odyssey app, but you can find it anywhere you get your podcast. It's called the PBP, Voices of Baseball. And this year, episode one of this season is Brian Anderson, not the former player, but the broadcaster, who you might see doing NBA games sometimes, doing some NCAA games sometimes, but also does the Brewers games on TV and does a great job with TBS on postseason baseball. And I thought you'd enjoy this snippet of the episode, which is out now. But this is Brian Anderson talking about a very, very memorable series, a memorable moment at Wrigley. And for me, it's one of the key moments of the rebuild and eventual march towards the World Series. It's when the Cubs passed the Cardinals as both the organizational standard and the local rival in 2015 when they beat them in the National League Division Series. You remember that? Just incredible, incredible stuff. And that atmosphere afterwards, so memorable. But I thought you'd enjoy this story from Brian Anderson on doing that series with his partner and friend, Dennis Eckersley. He'll reference the Schwarber home run, but it's also about the uniqueness of the way that series ended from the broadcaster's perspective.
What I remember most about that is once the Cubs won that game and advanced, like, we're always worried about the escape route like we're weird that way, announcers. Like, how do we get out of there, especially at Wrigley? Because Wrigley is like the most, it's crazy to go down the ramps and, you know,
serpentine.
People, if they win, they're yell, you know, they're happy. If they lose, they're yelling at you. But it, what was amazing about that, the Cubs win that series. And I can remember like leaving the booth. Now I got my car in the parking lot because I only live in Milwaukee. So I'm driving home. Nobody's leaving. Eddie Vedder standing down there on the third base dugout. Everybody's in their seats. I just walk right out. I go down the elevator. I go to my car. There's no traffic. I was home in 90 minutes. Greatest getaway ever. Usually it takes 90 minutes to get to the highway at Wrigley. I said, this is amazing. I called all my partner, Ron Darla. I said, hey, I'm already home. So anyway, that's what I remember most. I said, thank God the Cubs won.
That is amazing. That is amazing. We have the final moments of that series, actually, and it's a great example of you laying out.
The 0-1, Carpenter goes, and a swing and a miss. No balls, two strikes. Carpenter ends up at second base.
Do that again, and it's over.
Strikeout! The Cubs win! The Chicago Cubs are heading to the National League Championship Series.
Yeah. Man, it's a lot when you're sitting with it on a pod, but on TV, we're all bringing our own context to it. We're bringing our own thoughts to it. It doesn't feel like a lot.
Yeah, you don't need an announcer for sure. And those are conscious decisions. You know, you're as you sit there and you're, you know, like your voice is laid on top of this forever, at least for this particular broadcast. And you can, like, there's a menu of things I could go to. I could give the count. I could set the scene. I'm kind of following the director as well there on television where I'm watching the monitor, whatever his shots are. And I believe the shots he was cutting around were crowd shots. So there's really no, I don't need to say there's a guy and there's a guy and there's a guy. I don't need to do that. I don't need to give the count. I've just given it. I don't need to do any more setup than what's after. So there was no, like, if I was on radio, I wouldn't be able to do that. Because you notice that call was in the past tense. It was after the strikeout. It was, I didn't even do any setup. I didn't say he's on the mound. He kicks and fires. Here's the pit. You know, I didn't do any of that. So it was just the past tense of the result. And so, you know, my ego says I didn't really technically do a good job play-by-play wise. But again, when you're in the moment and you're at Wrigley and they've got a chance to do something amazing and that crowd's going crazy, for me, it's just like, oh, let's just sit here and watch this with them.
Yeah, it's awesome. And Eckersley with the do that again and it's over reminds me of something.
And he does it again.
He does it again. He does you know, it again. It's like
Eck was the man. I loved working with him.
Tell us why. Tell us why Eck was Eck so much
was
fun to work
totally
with.
Reactionary. He's a lot like Reggie Miller, and he came with some prep, but he was just totally reactionary. If you'll go back and you can insert this later, the Kyle Schwarber home run I'm telling you about. Schwarber hit a home run on top of the scoreboard, and Eck said, "What in the world?" As the ball is leaving,
and Schwarber sends one high and deep, way back. And this ball is long gone.
Mercy. What in the world?
And so he had all these phrases and sayings, and he would lean on you and tap you, and he was just completely immersed in the moment.
That is Brian Anderson. Man, I hadn't remembered that call. I was there watching that home run, but like to hear that call, that's just super cool. What in the world? Find the PBP, Voices of Baseball, wherever you find your podcast. I promise you'll enjoy it. Thanks for listening to Hit and Run. One more segment to go. Let's talk about the hottest hitter on the Cubs and how he got here. What he's actually doing at the plate is just awesome. We'll talk about it next, leading up to Cubs and Dodgers on the Score.
He's Babe Effin' Ruth.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Fly ball, deep left center, off the bat of Suzuki. Get out the tape measure, long gone. Suzuki with his ninth of the year. And the Cubs have a 10-run lead here in the eighth inning.
That home run right there. Sean Sears, that's last year, August 4th.
August 2nd against the Reds.
August 2nd against the Reds. And that was Seiya Suzuki, and it came after a benching by David Ross and the Cubs that Seiya Suzuki took really, really well. He knew he was out of whack, out of sync, in between in terms of sitting on off speed or sitting on fastballs. He was a mess, and he took that benching to heart, and he made some changes. What were they? I want to find out. Here's what we know. In the last 47 games of the year, Seiya Suzuki hit .356 with an on-base percentage of .414, a slugging percentage of .672. That's an OPS well over one, almost to 1.1, with 15 doubles, 4 triples, 11 homers, 37 ribbies, 34 runs scored. And there were some things that clicked, and they kept going into spring, and they've kept going into right now. Whereas the two-hitter on this team, he looks like he might be the best offensive player on this team. Certainly the best right-handed offensive player with respect to Cody Bellinger. So how is it happening? Why is it happening? Let's talk about it. But first, let's hear from Jed Hoyer, who talked about Seiya and those changes and that evolution at Cubs convention.
Things started to click for him, and obviously he had a monster August and September, and he was getting the ball in the air more. And I was asking those guys, like, hey, what changed? Like, what was the big moment? And the big moment was he was struggling, and we're playing the Reds. I think it was early August, like right after the deadline. And it was one of those games. We scored, like, whatever, 19, 20 runs in a couple of those games. And he was facing a position player pitching at the end of the game. And he was just like, okay, this swing nice and smooth, catch the ball out front. The guy's throwing 58 miles an hour. So he hit a long home run against a position player. And it was like, that was it. That's the swing. Catch it out front. And from that day forward, he took off. It was just great. So it's amazing when people talk about, like, what those moments are, that things click. It was just like thinking about catching the ball out front.
That's funny. So again, the position player home run was a moment that gave him confidence and got him going. That's really cool. There's actually an article today in The Athletic from Patrick Mooney all about Seiya, and it includes some more context, which I think is valuable. Dustin Kelly, the Cubs hitting coach, said that what Seiya found when he made those adjustments is that, quote, a lot of it had to do with him starting to own who he is as a hitter. It did take a little time for him to realize, who am I in the game in this lineup? There was not a mechanical swing adjustment. There weren't a lot of things we talked about outside of being aggressive. If it's a pitch you think you can drive in the middle of the field, you're going to go ahead and take your ace swing. It freed him up a little bit. And then success breeds confidence. And that speaks to what Jed was talking about there, as success breeds confidence. And there also was, according to Mooney, a better nutrition program and a streamlined, less is more routine, having come from a Japanese baseball culture that stressed repetitions and extra work. So he, like, pulled it back a little bit. And then there's some stuff from Ian Happ in this article, which I think is fascinating. So, look, here's what Ian talked about in terms of him being in between, Seiya being in between, like I was talking about. I think this is really interesting. And obviously Happ is really smart the way that he thinks about hitting. Quote from Happ: part of Seiya succeeding was figuring out exactly what move works at this level, how to cover different pitches. It's a different game. If a guy's throwing a heater at 96, 97, and he has a cutter at 90 to 93, that's a different mix than one straight pitch, and then the other off-speed pitch is kind of bending in the low 80s. So that's interesting. So in Japan, maybe more of that mix, where it's fastball and curve, or fastball and whatever it is, a slider in the 80s. This, in MLB, this is a heater at 96, 97, and a cutter at 90, 93. It's a different kind of approach. That makes a lot of sense to me. And one more thing on this. I was actually musing about this and thinking about this earlier in the week because he makes such good hard contact so consistently. Why does it fly off of his bat? Why do some guys generate more exit velocity than others? I want to know. I want to know. Is it about him being strong? He's obviously strong, but it's got to be more. It's got to be the swing plane, right? Like the efficiency of the swing plane, that kind of thing. And I'm just spitballing as I think about it. And then I come across this Ian Happ quote in the Pat Mooney piece. Seiya has one of the best right-handed swings in the game. Mechanically, he's so pure. The way the ball comes off the bat, you can see the exit velocities. There's a ton of strength there. It's his ability to drive the ball to all parts of the field. And when he's right, like right now, his swing decisions are so good. He doesn't swing at bad pitches. Damn, that's the stuff I could just hang out and get inside all day long. The pure mechanics. The efficiency of the swing plane. Man, I want to know. We got to talk to Justin Stone.
That's the guy, right?
I saw him in Mesa. I said, hey, man, really enjoyed talking to you last year. And he said again what he said at the end of that conversation. I don't know if you remember. He said, yep, that's all I do is talk hitting. So I'm around. That's all I do. That's all he does.
We will accept his services whenever he wants to.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. So we'll reach out to Justin Stone and try to make that reconnect.
You know what's interesting with some of the Seiya stuff is typically you see with right-handed hitters, if they're hitting more with more power, what's typically happening, usually pulling the ball. Seiya's the opposite right now. Mm-hmm. He's got a higher oppo field, like nearly 8 or 9% higher than he did last year.
Well, some of the best hitters in baseball are thinking that way all the time.
Right.
Boog was talking about Freddie Freeman this week, how Freddie Freeman told him when he's at the plate in a game and when he's doing BP, all he's thinking about is hitting a line drive over the shortstop's head. That's all he's thinking about the entire time. And he knows that if he just has that as the North Star, if that's the goal, then if he's a little in front, that's okay. If he's a little behind, probably foul, but it might be down the line the other way, oppo. But that's what he's thinking about the entire time. That's his middle, is that line drive over the shortstop's head. It makes all the sense in the world.
Well, like, and then we talk about how hard Seiya is hitting the ball. He was a huge fly ball pitcher in Japan, something nearly 60%. He'd do that in the league now. He'd lead it. Like, this guy, if he puts the ball in the air, extra base hits follow.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Maybe that number will climb. Speaking of fly ball hitters or fly ball pitchers, Shota Imanaga on the mound today. How are the conditions? What's the weather like? It's obviously a little damp right now. I don't know what the wind is like over there. That was a pitcher's dream on the day of the home opener for Shota's debut. So we'll have to take a look, but we'll see. Shota gives up fly balls, and some of those can turn into home runs. There was no chance of that happening at the home opener, and we'll see if there's any chance of that happening today. Can't wait to watch him again. So fun. If you haven't watched Shota yet, watch him today. If you're going to be listening, you'll hear Pat and Ron and Zach with tremendous descriptions as they observe and describe and react to what is going on. Because Shota is just, he's really, really fun. A simple way to listen to Mully and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, Parker the Spiegel, and everything the Score has to offer is with the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app today. Search 670 The Score and take us wherever you may go. During the week, you'll hear tons of baseball and, of course, tons of NFL draft coverage on The Score, which is presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Thank you to our guests on the show today, Albert Alzolay, and also thank you to Ryan McGuffey from NBC Sports Chicago. And thank you to Joe Davis, the Dodgers broadcaster. Sean Sears does a great job each and every week as our producer. Thank you to the associate producer, Ruben Spiegel. Hell of a job there, young man. That's right. Hope you enjoyed the Doritos.
He's waved for the audience. He was waving.
Sean, I hope you enjoyed your Doritos.
That was really nice of you. Thanks.
Oh, Ru, do you have Google Translate ready to go? Did you grab that? He doesn't have it? We were trying. I got one. Let's see if this will work. It's a good day for baseball. No, it's not working. Damn it! Trying to hook up the Japanese listeners in our audience.
We'll get that figured out for the next
show. Yeah, we'll get that figured out. We did it at the top of the show. You can always hit the rewind feature. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Cubs baseball is next. I'm back with Parker the Spiegel tomorrow. You're right here on 670 The Score.
Just be cool. Just be cool. Everyone be cool.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.